very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're looking at a theft from a grave in Rahund. Cyber security, a major investment being made by a Galway company. New to town. Getting your blood pressure checked. Also, we look at gunshots that were fired in Drumkeen last Thursday night. Some videos doing the rounds on that, which is not pretty. We'll look at that on today's programme. Also, the GAA fundraising event. Paul Bailey joins us on that. We're looking for blood donations today. And also today, we have a wonderful radio play indeed. It's called One Day. It looks at the inside of a radio station. It's very well done. We spoke about it last week. That goes out between 10 past 11 and midday today. All of that and more. A very good morning to you. Now, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so today. Quite simply, you can do so by simply calling us on 091-770-077. You can also WhatsApp us on 086-3833-553 today if you want to get in contact with us today. Congratulations, by the way, to all involved in the opening of the new bridge over the Salmon Weir. Beside Salmon Weir Bridge. It's not named yet, it's just a new bridge, so it is, but it's pedestrian and cyclist, and I cannot get over the amount of people, and I only passed it twice over the weekend, the amount of people on it. And I met a man there on Friday at the opening. I was there for a few minutes, and he said, "Keith, this is not a bridge, it's a destination." And I had calls to be in town last night at 7 o'clock, and I passed by the bridge, and there were children with their parents in wheelchairs and walking modes and all of that. There just seemed to be about 1,000 people on the bridge last night in and around the 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock yesterday evening. But again, well done to all involved. The opening went well. The photographs, which appeared in all media right across the world, looked fantastic as well. And apparently, I met Pat McGrath from RTE, and he was saying that from the air, and I think he got a good shot from the air as well, it looks like a fish. So look up all of those. Look up all of those photographs. It's stunning, so it is. And I met a lovely lady who's from Galway, but she lives in Germany, and she listens to the programme every morning in Germany. So I don't know where she is today. I didn't get her name. A very nice, positive lady. So I didn't get your name, so you know who you are today. But thank you indeed for all the nice comments you made about Galway Bay FM. And stay tuned in Germany as well. Now, let me move on today, because I want to go to Teresa Cahill, who joins me on the line. And Teresa made a call into the station last week in relation to her late father's grave. And her father was Coleman Flaherty from the Claddagh. But Teresa joins me on the line. Teresa, morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. So your dad died, Coleman Flaherty died, and was laid to rest in Rahun Cemetery.
He lived in Killaloe, but he went back to Galway, yeah.
And you have some brothers abroad, and you're based in County Clare. You were up recently. No, sorry, go back. Your dad loved dogs.
Yeah, that's right.
So what
did I put a statue of a dog on his grave for what would have been his 86th birthday in 2022. And I went up last week. Now, I've been up periodically to see Dad's grave, and I'll swap out the ornaments and stuff. But I went up last week with my cousin's wife, and the dog has gone off the grave. And not only that, the cross has been pushed down into the ground. It's kind of gone down into the ground. All the ornaments on the grave were moved, and even the grass, the artificial grass, was kind of pulled up at one side.
Why would somebody do that, do you know?
I am astounded. It's just heartbreaking to think that anyone could be walking all over my father's grave and, you know, messing with stuff. And this dog is not something you could put into your pocket. Like, it's about a foot and a half. It's a resin dog, and it's about a foot and a half in length.
So do you say 2 foot in height? So it's a fairly, it's not something you'd put under your arm and not be seen taken away.
No, it's a dog lying down, and it's about a foot and a half, at least a foot and a half in length. Like, you know, you can't put it into your pocket. I really don't know how it just disappeared. And it has a Galway ribbon around its neck, a Galway coloured ribbon.
Yeah.
Somebody must know where it is.
Well, who would go onto a grave and move stuff around and put the cross down further into the ground, and then take a 2-foot resin dog with the Galway ribbon on around the snake.
Somebody who's despicable, and I'd love to know who it was, you know.
And did you look around the graveyard to see?
I did, yeah, I did. I had a look, but it wasn't there. Now, I didn't have time to go all over the graves and everything, but, you know, if I found that on another grave, I couldn't take it off anyway out of respect for that person. You know, I can't guarantee that that is my dog, you know. So I wouldn't take it off another grave and put it back.
No. And what colour was that dog, can I ask you?
It was a black resin dog.
Okay. So maybe it's dumped somewhere, or maybe just...
Yeah, it was bought in Limerick, you know. I know it's probably not a one-off. So, you know, I can't sort of take it. If I saw it, I couldn't take it off anyone's grave. But it probably, I don't know, who would take it and dump it? I just don't understand. And I'm in the process of putting the my dad's headstone and everything on. You know, you'd be spending like £5,000, €5,000. Do I have to put barbed wire up on top of the grave, you know?
No, you shouldn't have. I mean, I would have understood that there's respect for people and for people's graves as well. But I mean, it's the ultimate insult to any family to interfere with the grave.
Yeah, I'm disgusted now. And, you know, I've always found Galway fantastic. It's a wonderful place. You know, anyone I've ever met from Galway has been lovely to me, and I've been going to Galway all my life. But I can't understand that somebody would do that to anybody's grave, you know?
And when you say other stuff were moved around and the artificial grass was moved as well, for what purpose?
Yeah. God only knows. But then a gentleman came along whose wife is buried near my father, and he said, oh, a lady was complaining last week. There was stuff taken off of her grave. There was a robin and something else. So, you know, I just like to urge people to go and report it to the city council. I've made a report to the Gardaí down here, and they've transferred it to Galway. I want people to report if things are taken off the graves, because nobody can do anything if they don't know about it, you know?
No, they can't. And I think, if I'm right, oh no, that's in Salt Hill. That's in Salt Hill District. So Salt Hill Gardaí can investigate that. But it just is not right. It's just not right at all.
No.
And what's your...
No, I'd like to...
You have some brothers abroad. Have you told them that the dog has gone missing?
I've told one of them, you know. It's not about the dog either. It's probably €25, you know. It's just the fact that somebody is... I wouldn't walk on my father's grave, you know, out of respect. I wouldn't walk on anybody's grave, you know. You don't do that. That is a big no-no, you know. And I just told one of them, you know, I said I had to go to the guards about Dad's grave and, you know, stuff like that. And he couldn't believe it. He was shocked.
But you see, that's, I don't know what age you are, but that's the way we were brought up, that you respected graves at all cost. I mean, I wouldn't walk on a grave unless I'd walk on the curb, but I wouldn't physically walk on the grave of somebody, but I was trying to get into grave and I had to stand on a curb, I would, but not on the physical grave. I just wouldn't do it, because that's what we were taught as kids, that you wouldn't do that. That was disrespectful.
Right. No, even when my boys were putting things on the grave, there's a little tiny ledge at the side, and I'd say, be careful now, you know, they have to go up along and not walk on the grave. If they're putting stuff, they go from behind or whatever, you know. I don't know, I'm just astounded, and I just hope that Galway City have some CCTV up there.
I know they have an excellent crew that mind both cemeteries, indeed, both the new cemetery and Rohan cemetery, and they go above and beyond the outdoor crew that mind them.
Yes.
But I don't know, is there CCTV? Maybe there is on Rohan. I don't know. I don't think there is I don't think is in the new cemetery, but maybe in Rohan there is. But even so, like, what can they be done for taking a plastic dog? It's not the plastic dog, it's the act of doing what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just disgusting, you know, and I don't know what kind of a person, you know, could do that. And I don't know why, because my father was a gentle giant. Everybody loved him. Nobody had a bad word to say about the man, you know. And he'd hate all this fuss now, me or Teresa's on the radio. He'd just, he'd say, oh, no, you know, be quiet. He'd just be mortified. But I feel I have to do it because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are older and they go to graves, you know, and they just, they'd be devastated, but they wouldn't ever tell anybody about it. But I want people to, you know, shout it from the rooftops, the stuff being taken from the graves or, you know, my grave's been desecrated or whatever.
They should have more for doing than desecrating graves now, so they should at night time or daytime whenever they're doing it. I do know that in the past...
Not for sure.
I do know that there has been drinking sessions at certain graves in there in the past, but I know that was fairly well stamped out as well. And this, I mean, the gates are closed and the gates are fairly high, so if you're to get into the graveyard, it's a chore to get into it. So it is all down to it's all down to respect, though.
Yeah, it is definitely respect and the lack of respect nowadays. You know, it's heartbreaking. I'm in my 50s, you know, I'm not 90, but I can't believe it. And all my father wanted was to go and be buried in Galway. You know, that's all he wanted.
Okay, he was originally from the Clare.
And, you know, you shouldn't, you shouldn't have this, you know. The man should be put to rest and he should just lay there in rest of peace. I shouldn't have to be on the radio fighting, you know, about people walking on my dad's grave. And, you know, it's just, I'm astounded. No. I just really am.
All right, Teresa, if anybody knows anything, would you be good enough to call us here, please, on 0917700077. You can also WhatsApp us to 086-3833-553. Have you seen a black plastic 2-foot-high dog that Teresa put on her dad's grave back in 2022 for his 86th birthday? And just we want to know where that dog is today, if you don't mind, Teresa. We'll be in contact. If we get information, we'll be in contact with you. But thank you, indeed, for joining us today on the programme. And very good morning. That's Teresa joining us there. Teresa Cahill joining us, speaking about her dad's grave. And her dad was Coleman Flaherty from the Cladder, lived in Clare, but was buried in Rahun, and somebody has taken off with the dog in question. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. Don't forget, and I'd like you to kind of get your phone out now and put in 10 past 11 this morning, because One Day is a radio drama which was recorded here, written by Ollie Turner, recorded here indeed by Matthew, and it goes out today just after the 11 o'clock news and death notices, and it runs, the sweep runs all the way up to 12 o'clock. It's fantastic. I'll be sitting in the studio listening to it again, but please put it in your phone, don't go anywhere else, don't change channel. You will get a hoot of a laugh out of this. It's good fun and gives you an insight into radio itself.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
A very good morning to you.
Hi, this is Molly from Molly in the Morning.
I'm into the programme with you right through until 12 midday. Comment lines are all open if you do want to get through to us. We would like to hear from you today on the programme. Now, though, let me go to a lovely story that has come our way over the weekend. It's only been announced today. Centripetal, indeed, the global leader in intelligence-powered cybersecurity, has today announced that it has opened its Galway-based European Cyber Intelligence Centre in Galway. I'm joined on the line by Dave Silk, who's CMO, and I'm also joined, Dave, morning to you. Good to talk to you again today. And I'm also joined by Minister Hildegard Nocton. Minister Nocton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good news. This is good news, Dave. Tell us a little bit about Centripetal.
Yeah, good morning, Keith. Centripetal is a company that was US-based. It's around 13 years old. Does a lot of work in looking at any cyber attacks or threats that might be happening all around the world. And we've developed a solution that can use all of that information to protect customers. And the good news for today is that we've announced that the company is coming to Galway at the Platform 94. We're going to open up a center of cybersecurity excellence here, and great, we're going to bring on 50 people in new jobs, which is brilliant for Galway.
And again, are they specialist jobs? Because this, to me, Dave, sounds like a very specialist industry.
Yeah, they are specialist jobs. They'll be a combination of what we call cyber analysts, individuals that have the ability to look at all of the threats that are happening around the world, and then they can work specifically with customers to identify what risks they may have. We'll also invest into research and development, into operations and engineering. We've been very, very fortunate that we've been able to work with the IDA and the Irish government to secure these positions. And they will be fairly high paid, very specialised roles, doing an incredibly important job based out of Galway.
And Minister, thank you for joining us today. You were at the launch on Friday. We're just talking about it today, though. This is huge investment, but again, another vote of confidence in the west of Ireland and Galway.
Yes, it's exactly that, a vote of confidence in Galway. And so I was there representing government to thank Centripetal for choosing Ireland and particularly for choosing Galway for the setting up of their European Cyber Intelligence Centre. And from our discussions with the company, with Dave, you know, this was about choosing a location that suited their needs. So really the fact that we're a university city with ATU, University of Galway, we have a highly talented workforce here, English speaking, and also now that Ireland has access to the European Union, the UK has left, as we know, the EU. This is really important for these companies when they're looking at strategic locations, but also the fact that we have a really strong technology ecosystem here in the West. And I just want to sincerely thank the IDA who liaise with these companies over a long period of time and to position Ireland and to position the West as a strong location for companies like this. And also the Galway Technology Centre, which now has a new name called Platform 94, and the work that they do. So when IDA bring in companies like Centripetal, they can talk about the benefits of locating here in Galway. And we've had a number of really good investments announcements over the last 12 months, like Fidelity Investment, Genesis, SAP, Diligent and Dexcom in Athenry, and today the announcement of these 50 new highly skilled positions in Galway is yet another, I think, endorsement and statement, and a huge amount of credit is due. I don't think we often sing our praises enough here in Ireland. If we were America, and maybe Dave would probably agree with this, you know, we have so much talent here, and I think our pro-enterprise policy as well is really important for these companies when they're looking at locating in a country, and we are competing with countries all over the world for this investment. So I really want to commend the IDA for building those relationships as well. They work very quietly behind the scenes, and again, just to thank Centripetal for their investment, and we look forward to working with them as well over the years ahead.
Dave, can I ask you, thank you indeed, Minister, stay with me. How long has this been in the offing, or how long ago was the decision made to locate to Galway, and how long did it take to get it over the line?
The company arrived, I was the first employee in September of last year. The company itself would have been speaking with the IDA for probably about 12 months before that, looking at not just Galway, but other locations across the island of Ireland. And I think, again, the Minister mentioned the work that the IDA does. But not just the IDA, you get a huge amount of support from local companies here in Galway and the university and the academic institutions, that when the IDA does engage with companies that are thinking about coming into Galway, they'll really try to set up lots of different discussions across the ecosystem. So a company like ourselves or any other company will really get an insight into what you can gain from locating here in Galway and on the west coast of Ireland. And I think that the major reason that we chose Galway was really around I describe it as that ecosystem of intelligence. We are so lucky that we've got an ecosystem that includes the creative intelligence. We see that with the arts. We also have the technical intelligence in IT and technology, but also in medical devices, etc. And then you also have the emotional intelligence, and the ability to work with just really creative, energetic people, and that makes a huge difference when you're trying to make a decision on what location suits you as a company the best.
So you're going to be located then in Platform 94, that new build there, and can you see yourself moving out of that then eventually?
Yeah, I think that Ollie Daniels and the team at Platform 94 have done a really nice job of really focusing in on scaling and offering companies the ability to scale. So we started life here in Ireland in a small little room. It was one person. We've just opened the new office now where we can host up to 50. But the aspiration of the company would be to follow Platform 94's, you know, aspiration, which would be to scale beyond that and potentially move onwards. But having the Platform 94 as an initial home just gives you a real sense of security in terms of you're going to be able to foster all of the relationships that you need, develop, and eventually scale out until you can move into your own premises.
And again, cybersecurity is something that we are all very, very conscious of. What is so different from your company as to what others that are out there?
Yeah, I think the major difference for Centripetal is that we've got a unique ability. Again, over the last 13 years, the company has developed nearly 100 patents, primarily looking at all of the threats, all of the attacks that are happening all over the world. And then you take that intelligence and you can push it into a solution that will sit within your company. It'll have the ability to monitor anything that's happening in the world today and act in real time to provide one of the most important things, which is time. So we can stop a threat before it actually turns into an attack on your network. And that's something unique that we do. And the great thing about now having a center of excellence here in Galway is that we will be able to use that technology coupled with the people to protect Irish companies, but also European companies, again, based out of the west coast of Ireland, which is brilliant.
Stay with me, Dave. Minister, I know you have to go to a meeting now, but we've seen all the cyber attacks when it comes to the HSE and the universities and other government organisations. Something like the investment that Centripetal have put into Ireland hopefully will strengthen all of that.
Yes, and I think it was very interesting as well to hear from Centripetal on Friday in our meeting that they're looking for graduates coming straight out of university doing these courses, because when they come out, they're creative, they're agile, they're curious, and it's exactly what Centripetal need for research and innovation, and they get really good results. And again, they wouldn't have based themselves here in the West if they didn't feel that we had that talent. So with all of these cyber security threats that are now a new reality for us, it's really fantastic that Galway and our third level institutions here will be developing and and enabling young people to graduate into this field, and we'll be seen as part of that ecosystem for the Centre of Excellence. So again, I think it's really important that we acknowledge what's happening here in the West and our education systems, and I think that collaboration between the University of Galway and the ATU and our academic institutions with industry like Centripetal is going to be really important, and it's really putting Ireland on the map as well around cybersecurity and what we're doing on a global level, because that is of huge interest to every company out there to make sure that they can protect themselves from cyber attacks. So I think this ecosystem here of what we're doing with Centripetal and the universities and the IDA and all the other smaller companies that will engage with Centripetal will be really beneficial into the future. So it's a really, really good success story for Galway and the West. And I think it's definitely a company to watch here into the future with 50 high-skilled jobs at the moment. But I've no doubt that will expand.
Minister, I'm going to let you go. Dave, I'm going to stay with you if you don't want Minister has a meeting to go to. Just in relation, will it be capped at 50 or could it go more than 50?
It won't be capped at 50, but it'll start at 50. Again, a lot depends on the overall success of the company, but I think we've tried to be very pragmatic, especially with the IDA, to start the journey and make sure that we bring in the right people into Galway and we provide a service, and we'll see over time how that begins to develop. But we would be very confident that it will go beyond that into the future.
Well done. It's a lovely story, so it is, of Centripetal. So we wish you well. And we wish you well in the new Platform 94 there. Will you be in the new wing or the old wing, can I ask you?
We're actually right beside the new wing. So our future colleagues will be, I believe, moving in August or September. But again, I just can't give enough credit to Platform 94 in relation to what they do on not just welcoming companies and then establishing companies, but providing that scale and access to one of the most important things that Galway offers, which is it's an ecosystem. There's so many people that are willing to help. There's so many people that are willing to provide guidance on the journey that they may have gone through before. And I think that's a really important thing.
It's a great selling point for future companies that will have to come in as well and would like to come into Ireland. Your statement there is a huge selling point, Dave, so it is.
It's a massive selling point. One of the minister mentioned one of the things that we did immediately we arrived in Galway was, I've been in Galway for a long time, but when the company arrived in Galway was to reach out to the local academic institutions on the University of Galway and the ATU, have a conversation with them on two things. One was, what are the courses that they're offering to individuals that are interested in cybersecurity. University of Galway has a new master's program that starts in this September, and we'll be actively involved in that. But the other opportunity we have with the academic institutions is on potential development of new technologies into the future. So they have great resources like Insights and others where, again, a new company like Centripetal coming into Galway automatically has the opportunity to engage with some really, really brilliant people to develop technologies that won't just help us now, but will help us into the future.
Okay, Dave, we look forward to further news coming out of that. But thank you, Dave, for joining us. Dave Silk, CMO of Centripetal, joining us on the line there. Good news coming out in relation to cybersecurity. And again, Galway being the focus on this. Now, very good morning to you. Sorry about that. We're with you at 12 midday. That'll be coming up in about 19 minutes, so you can have a gander at that then. Comment lines are all open if you do want to get through to us today. We'd like to hear from you. We're getting texts in to today in relation to Keith. We have we've had plants taken out of pots on our graves in Menlo also. And another caller said today, Keith, Laban Cemetery was pilfered some years back. Gravestones were robbed, etc. People were caught, but they were not Irish, this caller said. Doesn't matter who they are or what they are. They can't go around pilfering. Pilfering, indeed, graveyards. We're getting quite a strong reaction to that, I have to say. Keith said, it's ridiculous that people can do what they do. Our cemetery was also bothered recently, and it caused great upset in our family. And Keith, what is the situation with the shots fired last Thursday night in the Rahon area? We're working on it. We're going to get to it fairly shortly. So stay tuned. We'll get to it just after the 10 o'clock news. Don't forget, by the way, just after the 11 o'clock news and death notices today, if you don't have sport or otherwise, we're going into One Day, which is the radio drama that Ollie Turner wrote and was engineered by Matthew Lyons here. It is brilliant. It is just one day in a radio station. It's great fun. If you want a good giggle and a good laugh, stay tuned. And you need that on a Monday, don't you? Well, then listen to me. So you'll get the giggle, you'll get the laugh. And wherever you're listening to us in the world, or wherever you are working today, make sure you're there just after the 11 o'clock news for One Day. JT Trainer joins me now, and he's a health promotion professional with the Irish Heart Foundation. And JT is trying to do something that he shouldn't have to do, which is trying to get Galway adults to get blood pressure checked before damage is done. And JT joins me on the line today. JT, morning to you.
Hi, Keith. Good morning.
Good to talk to you today. Listen to me. It's unfortunate that you and I, as two adults, have to remind other adults to go and get their blood pressure checked before the damage is done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's what we're trying to do is we've launched a campaign last week called Before Damage Is Done, and we're really trying to make adults over the age of 50 especially aware of the risk of high blood pressure and trying to encourage them to go and get checked. So what we know is that two out of every three adults over 50 in Ireland have high blood pressure, but only one in three are diagnosed and maybe are managing that through medication or lifestyle changes. So as you said, what we're really trying to do is encourage everyone to really think about this and go and get checked over the next couple of weeks and find out where they're at in terms of their blood pressure.
Why are people so afraid to have their blood pressure checked?
I don't know if it's a fear. I suppose what we're sort of highlighting in our campaign is, like, blood pressure can be called the silent killer. So it's symptomless. Like, a lot of people don't know they've had high blood pressure until, unfortunately, they have an event like a heart attack or stroke, and then they're diagnosed for high blood pressure. So it's more so that it's probably not up as far up on people's radar as it should be in terms of their health. And we do know that, like, it's not an invasive test to get your blood pressure checked. I think everybody has probably had their blood pressure checked at some stage in their life, where you get a cuff on your arm for 2 or 3 minutes. So it's not, it's not maybe that invasive or worrying to get done. We just believe it's just not people's awareness of the dangers of the effect of having long-term blood pressure probably isn't there, and that's something we're trying to educate the population about.
Because, I mean, I'm on blood pressure medication, have been for many years, and you take one a day, and then you get regularly checked. But it's not as if, you know, if you get it early, if you have high blood pressure and you treat it early, you're going to reduce the amount of damage that you will be doing to yourself. You only have one heart, and if you don't look after the heart and have it checked and have the blood pressure checked, it's the basics, really. And if you have cholesterol, get the cholesterol checked. It's really and truly, we're talking about very basic stuff, JT here.
Exactly, yes. And that's the thing. It's probably one of the most easily managed health conditions you can have. Like, once you know exactly what you have it, then it can be easily managed. True, as you say, like, as we talked about already, the statistics of the amount of people who have high blood pressure in the country, like, a lot of people are on medication and it doesn't have any side effects or detriment to their day-to-day life. And then also there's the lifestyle elements that you can improve that can really work towards improving blood pressure. So things like your diet, exercise, alcohol consumption, smoking, these things all have an effect on your blood pressure. So again, until you know if you have high blood pressure or not, then you can start looking at these things and saying, well, where could I improve here, as well as maybe some people that just have to go on the medication. And it's very rare, like, everyone knows someone who's on blood pressure medication. That's just how prevalent it is, unfortunately.
And can I ask you, and again, if you don't know, come back to us, JT Trainer, on this one. What is the ideal blood pressure reading?
So the ideal is 120 over 80. So that would be normal. If you're at 140 over 90, then you would be diagnosed as being in the risk or high blood pressure category. But the best thing to do with your blood pressure is to go to a medical professional. So we have partnered with the ICGP and the Irish Pharmacy Union, so the GP and pharmacy unions, to encourage people to go and get checked. So the best thing is to go to a medical professional and get checked first of all, and then they can advise you where in the range you are, and if you need to come back and get checked again, or if you need to, if you're okay, and then they may be scheduled to bring you back in a year or 5 years, depending on your age bracket. But and then there's also the benefit of the home monitoring kits. But what we do is encourage people to get checked by a professional, and then you can use your home monitoring kit at home to monitor yourself long term over an average of a couple of weeks.
And they're inexpensive. There's one in our house, and I would check my blood pressure every so often, maybe twice a month I would check it. I always take the second reading, JT, rather than the first reading, because the first one you're getting anxious, because you're saying, I wonder, have I high blood pressure or don't I have high blood pressure? So I ignore the first one. But the machine, I don't know what make a machine it is, we got it down in Mahon's Pharmacy a number of years ago, but you can go back on the history of it all, so you can. You can have one or two people on it. You can go back and say, yeah, that's it. And write it down in the book, and at least you have it. And yet, if you go to the doctor, then you're saying, look, this is what it was. This is what it is. Now, what do you think?
Exactly, and that's the key. It's to get an average over the course of a few days is best, as opposed to, because you can take, you're exactly right about the second reading is always better than the first. And then taking an average over maybe 3 or 4 days and writing them down and bringing them to your doctor is a lot more beneficial than just taking one reading, because our blood pressure can get affected by many things like stress. Or it's better to have that average. So, that's definitely more beneficial, and the doctor will be can make more, will find an average over time more useful than a one-off reading. So, and we have a lot of information on our website, irishheart.ie, around the campaign, but also recommendations around how to do self-checks and the sort of equipment you can use, as well as videos around how to carry them out.
And the good thing is on this, and again, I'm the one talking a lot here, JT, is that if you go and you have your blood pressure checked and the doctor checks it, and you know, even if you go to a cardiologist, normally when you're leaving the cardiologist, they'll say, we'll give you a call in about 2 years' time for another checkup. So the heart doesn't break down overnight. It takes time for it to kind of process problems. So it doesn't happen overnight, or it doesn't happen over a week or a month. So it takes time. But if you mind it...
Yeah, exactly. So what we would recommend is, if you're over 30, you really only need to get checked once every 5 years to flag if there is an issue. Then if you're over 50, once you get checked, then your doctor will advise you like how often you need to come back, depending on your risk. But it is it can take a long process for blood pressure to have a negative effect on your body. But the beauty is, as we've said, is once it's diagnosed, it can be easily managed as well.
Okay, so, and they can go to their GP, they can go to their pharmacist, but your key message as health promotion professional with the Irish Heart Foundation, JT Traynor, is you want the people of Galway City and County to be the healthiest and go and get themselves checked.
Yeah, prioritise getting your blood pressure checked and find out where you are, and then, as we've explained, it can be a very easy process then about managing it if you have an issue. But as we say, we want this done before the damage is done and before we realise there is an issue.
Mm. All right, listen, well done to you. Again, you're saying go to irishheart.ie?
Yes, irishheart.ie, or if you Google before damage is done, you'll get onto our website, our campaign website, and all the information is there, and information videos.
Just a quick comment in, Keith, good conversation with JT and yourself. I had a stroke 3 years ago, which shouldn't have happened. I was carrying no weight. I was 56 years of age. I was regularly checked, had no high blood pressure, but unfortunately I had a stroke. So it doesn't mean that if you check everything that it won't happen, but certainly the conversation you're having should try and get men and women to think about their blood pressure. Valid point. Exactly. It doesn't stop stroke, so it doesn't, JT?
No, not. There's a lot of elements that can have an effect on our health, but we know that this is one of the most prevalent in the country, so it's one that we're trying to raise as much awareness about in the public as possible, because, as you say, it's so easy to diagnose and so easily managed.
Mm. Keith, I'm out of breath. I've history of cardiac problems in my family. Perhaps I should go to the doctor. Well, if you're out of breath and you have a history of cardiac issues, I'd say just make an appointment to the doctor straight away. Would you agree, JT?
Yes, we'd definitely be recommending there to go and speak to your GP immediately and have a chat and see what may the issue is. And I suppose that's another element, is like family history has a massive effect on our cardiovascular health. So if you have a family history of heart disease or stroke, then it's probably even more important to go and prioritise getting checked out regularly.
All right, listen, JT Traynor, health promotion professional with the Irish Heart Foundation, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, irishheart.ie to get further details there. That's irishheart.ie. Hi, Keith, thank you for the wonderful programme, which I listen to every day. I'd like you to please give a mention to the wonderful, hard-working men and women who built our new bridge beside the cathedral. Some of those worked through the night to get this done so quickly, and these workers were not even made aware of its official opening till late on Friday morning last, and they were working elsewhere and unable to get in. So well done to all involved. Super job. It's ye that did all the hard work. From a very grateful resident close to Cathedral as well. And thank you. That comes from Cullum at the programme today. Cullum, you're dead right. I didn't realise that they hadn't. I did think to myself that there was a lot of the construction workers on the bridge. They were very quiet and humble people, as they always are. But they should have been told before Friday morning last by the contractors in question. It is an absolutely stunning bridge. It really and truly is. It's beautifully done. There's seating in the middle of it. I can see people on a day like today going and picking up their lunch somewhere. and then going and sitting on the bridge. You can look either way. You can look up towards the falls and the Weir rather, and you can look out towards the bay as well. It's beautiful, and as the man in question said to me, it's a destination now at this stage. So people will be coming to Galway to see the bridge from there. Keith, we had a horrendous night in Prospect Hill with Airbnbs on Saturday night. Can they be banned, please? And can you ban them quickly? I would suggest that you get on to Galway City Council and that 536400. They're the custodians of what can be banned and not banned. Let's take a short commercial break and head towards the 10 o'clock news. Stay tuned. After 11, though, that radio drama, don't go anywhere else.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.